Welcome to Baraka Church. As Pastor Jonathan Smith concludes the series, All or Nothing. We love the feeling of confidence we have when we know the answer to a difficult question. And we all know the embarrassing confusion when what we thought we knew is actually wrong. In this message, we are dotting I's and crossing T's. This isn't a game of chance. It's all or nothing.
This is our sixth and final week of our series, All or Nothing. We've been looking at someone who believes in God, but lives as though he does not exist. Titus 1, Paul was talking about some people like what we've been talking about, and he said this. He said in verse 16, they profess what?
To
know God. They profess to know God, but they deny him by what?
Their works.
Like they believe in him, but yet their actions show clearly that they live as though he does not exist. And then that verse goes on and says, what are they? They are detestable. They are disobedient. They are unfit for any good work. And I don't know about you, but those are some pretty strong descriptions that Paul gives. They claim to know God. They say they believe in God, but their actions actually deny him. In fact, in our country today, we know that according to a Gallup poll, some 94% of Americans claim to believe in God. But as we look at these 94% of Americans, we know that very plainly that all of them do not know God personally. They may believe in God, but they don't know him. In fact, really the heart of this whole series is rooted in this question, do you really personally know God? Week number one, we talked about how many believe in God, but yet when it comes to prayer, they believe more in superstition than they do in the supernatural. Why are they superstitious? Because they don't really know him. Week number two, we looked at, I believe in God, but this is just the way I am. I can't change. Why can't you change, or why can't they change? Because they don't really know him. If they knew him, they can't help but change. Like once you meet Jesus, you can't help but change. He changes you. Week number three, I believe in God, but I don't want to take him too seriously. Like I don't want to go overboard. And so many people follow him when it's convenient, when it works out for us. Why only when it fits their schedule and when it doesn't inconvenience them? Because they don't really know him. If they knew him, there is nothing that they wouldn't do. It's kind of like what we heard from Sarah. And Sarah, I really appreciate you being willing to put your story together and do the video. But she said, like, you'll see me serving all over. Why? Because I just can't help but do it. Like, I just have to be a part. It's what God says. Like, you just can't help but be a part and jump in and do things. Last week, or week number four, I believe in God, but I can't trust him with my money, not realizing that all belongs to God, and in our generosity, he promises to bless us as we trust him. And the reason we have a hard time trusting him is because we don't really know him. And the more you know him, the more you trust him. And what you find out is you can't outgive God. It's an impossibility. Just the last 2 weeks, I've had two different families, two different people say, man, I'm telling you, I started giving to God. I started doing it. And like God is just blessing. And that's not the way why we do it. Don't get me wrong. Like if you put a check in for $1,000 today, don't expect like a $5,000 check this week. It may or may not happen. But we just know that God, we cannot outgive God. He's always generous to us and gives back. And last week we looked at, I believe in God, but I don't think he loves me. And how often when we don't think we are loved, we begin to distance ourselves and push away from God. And the reason we doubt God's love is because honestly, we really don't know him. Today, I want to look at, I believe in God, but so many people would have to admit, I believe in God, but I really don't know him. In fact, just the thought of knowing God relationally for many people is hard to swallow. Like, I believe in God. I just don't want to get too close to him because, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do to me. In 1982, my family moved to Ohio to live. We moved from Illinois. At that time, I had no idea who Denise, the woman who is now my wife, was. Eventually, I learned who she was, but I didn't know very much about her. As a matter of fact, I knew very little about her. I knew that she was a redhead. I knew that her dad led music at the church we were attending. I learned at some point that she went to Springboro High School. I knew her family had a silver and burgundy conversion van. Remember when those were the rage, like back in the 80s? I mean, they had one. The rich people had them. And so I was looking at it and said, man, that'd be nice to have and take trips in. I knew who she was, and I knew some things about her. This is really where many people are with God. They don't know God personally, but yet they've heard some things about God. And then one day we began talking and we started to get to know each other a little bit. Eventually we began dating, but there was still a little bit of, do you like me? I'm not sure. I think you like me. I'm not really sure. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit, which is really where a lot of people are with God. Like there's so many, probably some here today or watching online, like you're flirting with God a little bit. They believe in God. They're kind of flirting, dating God, but not exclusively. In other words, if I don't have anything going on, I might kind of get to know you a little bit better, but I'm not going to let you keep me from doing whatever I want to do. There are some things that I just don't want you in on, God. I mean, this is like my private areas. These are my things, and I'll give you this area, but not everything. Like, I'm not going to be totally vulnerable and transparent with you. After a while, we got married, and we got to know each other on a whole other level, and now after 28 years into marriage, if there's 100 ladies around and they are all talking, like I can pick out her voice out of all of them. I know her smell. I enjoy being with her. There's this growing intimacy. I'm learning what she likes and dislikes. I don't know everything about her because we're still growing, and probably the rest of our marriage relationship will continue to grow and learn, but I know her closely. That's where some of you are with God today. You know God. You've experienced God. And you're growing even closer to God. And the more you know about Him, the more closer you want to get to Him. And what I'd like to do today is break down the truth of not just believing in God, but knowing Him into three different groups today. And my hope is that you will honestly identify and admit to where you are. And where you are might be slightly painful if you're truly honest today. And my prayer is that each of us will be honest today. And so I'm going to look at these three areas. And if you're taking notes, the first one I'd give, group number one or level number one, however you want to say that, some people believe in God, but they don't know Him. Some people believe in God, but they don't know Him. Say, isn't that enough? I mean, I believe in God. James said that the demons, they believe in God and shudder. Believing in God is simply not enough. Today, we have a lot of people who believe in God, and they might be what we would call cultural Christians. Like, my mom was a Catholic, and my dad was a Methodist, and so I'm kind of confused, but we do this Christmas Eve service thing, and sometimes Easter, we go to that. We do some good things. They believe in God, but these people often don't know Him. And what happens is their actions reveal a lack of intimate knowledge. I had the privilege for the last like 9 or 10 years, I don't even know how long, have been the fire chaplain for the city of Delaware. What's intriguing to me that I didn't have any idea when I first began is like they train nearly every single day that they are on duty. They're always training. They always have something going on. They're always learning something. And they know how to properly wear their equipment. They know how to fit their tanks and fill their tanks. I sat through a training with them on car fires. Like, I figured, I mean, I was naive enough to just think, like, a car is on fire. You get the truck there as fast as you can. You park it wherever. You get water on it as fast as you can. There's a whole lot more than that going on. Like, they park in a specific strategic place because I didn't know this. Like, there's projectile, like, missiles that'll come out of your car once it's on fire, like fire in different places. So they don't approach it from that angle. They don't park their vehicles in that angle, like stuff you'd never think of. They train on that. They know how to detect a person in the middle of a pitch black, smoke-filled room. They train on knowing how to carry a person to safety. They know how to properly resuscitate a person. They know what drugs to give a person and how much, depending on what's going on. They know the pressure and the quantity of water needed to fight a particular fire, and they're all different. They're all come across different. They know whether using foam or water is beneficial. They're always training. I didn't know any of that stuff. I still don't know any of that stuff. How crazy would it be for me to go around telling people that I'm a firefighter because I believe in the fire department? Like that'd be crazy, right? 1 John 2, verse 3 says this, "And by this we know that we have come to know him." I mean, that'd be a good thing to know, right? "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." Verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We recognize that we know him if we obey his commands. There are people who say, "I believe in him," but their actions deny that he really exists. Like that verse says, you can't just live however you want and do whatever you want and not change and say that you believe in God and know him. There's an outward obedience, and the Bible says that they are liars. It may not be that they're intentionally lying. They may be lying to themselves, but Scripture says they're lying. The reality is there is a lot of people who do know some about God. They know about him, but they don't really know him. There are people that can quote Bible verses and historical facts, and they have a lot of head knowledge when it comes to Scripture, but not a heart relationship. And the sad thing is, there may be a lot of people who miss out on knowing God by about 18 inches. The difference between knowing God intellectually and accepting God into their heart. And I think so many people will be surprised one day that they believed in God, but they never knew God. And to me, some of the most sobering verses in all of Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Like, you can say that you know God. You can even call on God. I mean, you can say, "Lord, Lord," but notice it's the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?'" In our culture, we could say it this way. Didn't we go to Sunday school? Weren't we confirmed? Didn't we go to church most weeks? Didn't we dedicate our children at church? Didn't we give to the church and other charities? Didn't we try not to cuss? Didn't we try to do some good things? Didn't we pray a prayer to be saved from hell? Weren't we nice to people? Weren't we generally moral people? Didn't we generally do some good things? And Jesus, in verse 23, will look at some, and he will tell them plainly, "I never what?" He said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Like, you don't even know me. Like, you don't know me. I don't know you. Well, we didn't have a relationship. And here's the misnomer in our fuzzy, lovey Christianity minds. Like, well, we just believe that everybody that we know is going to heaven. Like, mom's going to heaven, dad went to heaven, everybody went to heaven, everybody's in heaven. And that's not what Jesus says here. He says, "Away from me, you evildoers, you workers of lawlessness." I believe there's so many people, good people, who believe in God but do not know him personally. Some of you may have to admit that's where you are. You believe in him, but he's not the driving force in everything you do. There's no intimacy and no real relationship with him. You may even look the part. You may call yourself a Christian. Others may call you a Christian. Generally, you are a really good person. You believe in him, but you do not know him. But there's another group that perhaps may be the group you're in today. Level number two, or group number two, we'll say it this way, those who believe in God and they know him, but they don't know him well. Those who believe in God and they know him, but they don't know him well. They believe in God and they do know him kind of, sort of, but not super well. When I was in high school, our basketball team, our high school basketball team, beginning my freshman year, we would travel to Indianapolis to Market Square Arena, and we'd play a basketball game a couple hours before the NBA game. And so the very first time we did that, it was before the Pacer bowl game. And so after we got showered and cleaned up and came out, the Bulls were shooting around, and so we got to get right up next to the court and watch. And there was Michael Jordan, standing 5 feet from us, shooting three pointers and doing what he was doing. And so we kind of had a little brief conversation. But if you were to ask Michael today, who's Jonathan? He'd be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never met that guy before. I could say that I know him, but I don't really know him well. He probably wouldn't even remember me. Several years later, I was sitting in a living room in Kissimmee, Florida, at this place where they put together custom coaches and rented them and leased them out to all these big stars. And as we're sitting there, Ashley Judd and Naomi Judd come in, and we had a conversation for about an hour with the guy that did these coaches, and it was amazing. And I could say, I know them. I know them. I mean, we talk an hour. I know all about them. And if you were to ask them, they'd be like, I don't even remember that. I don't remember him. There are people who would say, I know Jesus. I don't know him well yet, but I have met him. I've met him. I've accepted him into my life. And there are a lot of people, maybe some of you, who do know God, sort of. I mean, maybe you had an experience with him. Maybe you prayed and surrendered your life to Jesus and asked him to transform your life. And you kind of have this basic understanding. And maybe there was a time where you just really sort of kind of felt close to him, but you don't know him very well. He's not leading and driving every part of your life. You have some knowledge, but he's not really changed you. What I could say is this: you've been informed about God, but not transformed by God. You're informed, but not transformed. You know him like I know Michael, but you haven't radically, fanatically been changed by him. And you might say, well, does that mean I'm saved? And the answer is maybe. I don't know. Only you and God know that. I don't know that. You've been informed, but there's not a driving, outward, visible evidence to everyone who comes in contact with you. You know him, but not well. There's a little bit of this going on in Galatia when Paul wrote this letter to some people who had been trapped in legalism. They knew God, but not well enough not to get sucked back into their old ways, their weak and miserable principles of legalism. And in Galatians 4, verse 8, Paul says this: formerly, when you did not know God, before you knew God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You know God, but not well enough to keep you to continue to go back to those things that won't help you. What does that look like in our world where so many people struggle with so many things? Maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's drugs, or maybe it's sex, or maybe it's power, or maybe it's money, or gathering up possessions, a relationship that you know isn't helping you get to know Jesus better and grow in that relationship. And everything that you try leaves you empty. You met Jesus, but you have not been transformed because you're attempting to drag those things along with you. There are those who believe in God but don't know him. And some of you, you would acknowledge truthfully, that's me. That's me. I've met him, but he hasn't transformed me. And there's a third group, and this would be my prayer that all of us would grow to this point. And that would be those who believe in God, know him intimately, and serve him wholeheartedly. Those who believe in God, you know him intimately, and you serve him wholeheartedly. You may say, well, what does that look like to know God intimately? Just the fact that you might ask the question really reveals the reality that you don't know that kind of intimacy. And admittedly, it's difficult to describe. What does it mean to know God intimately and to serve him wholeheartedly? What it means for me is that I'm becoming more and more aware of God within me all the time. There's an increasing awareness of the presence, the provision, the power, and the peace of God. There's an awareness that it doesn't matter how crazy our world gets or how upside down my week is, that everything's okay because God is ultimately in control and he is sovereign over all, and nothing happens to me or around me that doesn't go through his hands first. It's not like God's there and I'm here and every now and then I throw a prayer at him, but it's more of an ongoing conversation that I don't have to say, well, I did my prayers this morning. Like, no, there's just this ongoing conversation between God and I throughout the day. It's God speaks through his word to me. He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to me. He uses other people to speak to me. He uses circumstances in life to speak to me. There's this awareness that as the day goes on, God is orchestrating things. There are times when I'm about to say the wrong thing, but the Holy Spirit prompts me to keep my mouth shut. And there are other times when I ignore doing that, and I ignore doing the right thing, and the Spirit stops me and prompts me to go do the right thing or to go make things right. It's doing life with God. It's being not led by sight, but led by the Spirit of God. And doing life with God. It's knowing him and serving him wholeheartedly. You can really see the intimate knowledge of David as he expresses how knowing God creates a longing for even more of knowing God. We see it in Psalm 63. We can see it in all kinds of psalms, but we'll go to Psalm 63 today. Verse number 1, he says this. Oh God, you are what? He says, oh God, you are my God. You are my God. You're not somebody else's God I just heard about. You're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You kind of get the idea. It's not just, I think about you, God, on Sunday mornings. And then the next Sunday morning, I think about you again. It's like, no, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, in the middle of the night, all the time. Like I'm seeking you. Like I thirst for you. Like I want to be closer to you. In this world, there's nothing that satisfies me, God. That's why I need you. I ache for you, God. I need more of you. Verse 2, he says, so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Like, I've seen you. I'm getting to know you. I know who you are. I know what you're like, and your power and your glory is greater than anything I could ever imagine or describe. He goes on to say, and I love this, because your steadfast love is better than what?
Life.
Well, think about that for a minute. Your love, God, is better than me even living today. He said, your love is better than life, and because of that, my lips will praise you. Like, I can't be quiet about you. Like, nobody can stifle me. Nobody can shut my mouth about you. Like, I'm just going to continue praising you. Verse number 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Like God, I seek you. I know you. I've seen you. And I've experienced who you are. I've experienced your goodness. The things of this world, they don't satisfy me. I know that they're empty. I need more of you. That's who I need. God, I don't just know about you. You're my God. I've seen you. I've beheld your power. I know who you are. My lips are going to declare your goodness. My hands can't stay down because, God, I know who you are. You're my God. I'm not the same. The old standard has been changed. The old flesh, the old nature is gone. The new nature has come. I know you, God, and you have my life. I know you, and I want to serve you intimately. Psalm 9:10 says this. Those who what? Those who know your name, God, what will they do? They'll put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Let me just ask you this. How well do you know God? What you call him could reveal the depth of your intimacy or the lack of intimacy. Those who know your name, by what name do you call God? A few months ago, I mentioned that depending on what you call me will reveal whether you know me or not. If my phone rings and someone calls me Mr. Smith, like, I know automatically, they don't know me. Like, that's my dad's name. I've not gone by that name at all, but I've heard my dad go by that name. That you call me that reveals the fact that you don't know me. If I'm in a restaurant and I turn my name in to go on the waiting list and they come and say table for two Mr. Smith, you might have just met me, but we don't know or have an intimate relationship. Like, we're not close. If you call me Pastor Jonathan, chances are you actually might know a little bit about me. You at least know what I do. You have some knowledge of me because the name reveals the depth of the knowledge. If you call me John, though, you know me better because my family and high school friends know me as John. And they know how to spell it correctly if you know me well. You call me John and we have known each other for a long time. There are some that have known me well enough to come and sit on my lap and rub my face and say, Daddy, you need to shave. And some that know me well enough to say, you've got bad breath. You need to do something about that. And they know me so much better than those who just call me John. But you see, the name reveals the intimacy. What do you call God? The big guy up in the sky? The man upstairs? Little baby Jesus or whatever. Like, you don't know him. That tells me automatically, you don't know him. There are those of you, when you pray, you call him your healer because he's healed you. There are some of you who call him your comforter because you know him on that level. Some of you call him your fortress or your rock or your strength. There are some of you who your earthly father is not there, and he is our father. He is our heavenly father, and you know him as your father. Some of you don't know where to turn. He is your provider, and when you pray to him, you know him that way. Some of you, when you're all alone, he's your friend. He's your redeemer. Those of you who are aware of your sinfulness, when you call him your savior. Others of you, he is the Lord of your life. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. How well do you know him? Those who know him by name, trust in him. Like, it doesn't matter what happens this week. It doesn't matter who around you lose this week. It doesn't matter what this crazy virus does this week. It doesn't matter what Congress does this week or what the president does this week or what world leader does this week. Like if you know him, you know that you trust him. He's in control. If you believe in him and you don't trust him, it's because you do not know him. Because if you knew him, you would trust in him. If you look at your life and you say, I believe in him, but I live as if he does not exist, it's because you don't know him. And unfortunately, so many times I've watched people praise him in the sanctuary and then go out and real life happens and all of a sudden, like, we're mad and upset and venting and frustrated and wondering where God is. Like, I would say, you don't know him. Like, you don't know him. So how do we get to know him? That's the easiest part. If you seek him, you will find him, the Bible says. He says it over and over again. If you seek him, you'll find me. Open his word up and seek him. If you're hungry, he will feed you. If you're thirsty, he will give you drink. If you seek him, you'll find him because he longs to reveal himself to you. You seek him. You're as close to God as you want to be. That's what Scripture tells us. You're as close to God as you want to be. God's not like this moving target that as soon as you get a little bit close, like he's going to move and change the goalposts. No, no, like God is the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, forever. God's the same. Like if you continue seeking him, like he's going to be the same. You'll find him. So here's the close of the whole series. And if God has been speaking to you and rattling you throughout this series, this is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for our church. This is my prayer for Baraka Church and my family and our families. It's found in Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. I pray that we as a church, I pray that you as an individual, I pray that our families would know him better and know everything about him. That we wouldn't just say, I believe in God, but we would know God. I don't know if you picked up on it because you had no idea what I was speaking on. And so maybe when Sarah was saying things, but it amazed me this morning as God wove some things together, as he's so good at doing, how many times she talked about, I want to know him. I want to know him. I know him now. I pray that we as a church would know him better and know everything about him, that we would really know how good he is. And as you get to know him, you can never go back to living as though he doesn't exist, because you believe in God and live every moment, not only as if he exists, but if he is, as if he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as our Savior and Redeemer and life giver who is soon returning. That's what I pray. I pray that we will know him so intimately that people in our community be like, man, if you want to know about God, you need to go talk to the people at Baraka Church, because they know him. Like, they talk about him all the time. They're always praising him. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but I do know this. I know that they know him. That's my prayer for our church. And Heavenly Father, I pray that'd be true. God, I pray that'd be true in my life. I pray that would be true in every person that's listening in this room today, and those who are listening online, and those who will even miss it today. God, I pray that we would seek you. God, I pray for the one, the couple, the several, the dozen who would say, I believe in God, but honestly, if I take a look at my life, I don't really know him. I don't really know him, and I want to know him. God, you're not a mythical magic creature that we can't get to know. You have given us your word. You have poured out a love letter to us for us to know you better. And God, I pray that as we get to know you, we'll trust you more and more. And God, we'd see you do amazing things. And even as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, that we would have revelation in the knowledge of you. That our hearts would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope to which you've called us to, what your riches of your glorious inheritance is, and what's the immeasurable greatness of your power toward those of us who believe. So God, I pray that we would know you.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.